Well, hello and welcome back. This is Verse by Verse Bible Teaching Ministry. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate the Wash and Word hand car washing business in Church Hill. We are located on Highway 11 in the Palace Shopping Center, and there we do hand car washing, and also we broadcast these messages and others, archived ones. They broadcast in the parking lot. You can tune your FM dial to 107.1 if you are anywhere near that area, usually in the parking lot. And you can hear today's message along with several others as we play them on a loop all day long. Or you can continue to come back here at 8:30 every morning on this station. And we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching. It's nothing fancy. It's just what it sounds like. We start with a verse. We read one or several verses. We expound upon it. We apply it to our lives, and then we move on. And this format allows us to touch on every single thing in God's Word that's on God's heart. And it doesn't afford us the opportunity to leave stuff out. So we cover it all eventually. And if you've been following along, you know that we are in the Gospel of John. And if you have been following along, you're probably wondering, when are we ever going to get out of chapter 2? Well, that day is today. So we're going to learn a little bit about a man by the name of Nicodemus. And so chapter 3, if you're following along in your Bibles, and we're going to talk about Nicodemus. And most of the time when someone is teaching on Nicodemus, the message is going to revolve around the words born again. You know, that famous born again statement that Jesus tells him, and how, you know, how Nicodemus couldn't quite wrap his mind around what that actually meant. And you know, if you do a study or hear a preaching on the beginning part of John chapter 3, you know, you very well should be talking about the born again statement, because that's mostly what this is about. Now, understand a few things about Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin was a council of 70 men, and they pretty much ruled the Jewish affairs. Their specific role was to run the religious affairs of the nation. However, many times religious power is also political power, and so they had both. And so they were the religious and in some ways the political authority over any Jew, no matter where they were in the world during that time. And this council was almost exclusively made up of men that were called Pharisees. And Nicodemus was one of those Pharisees. So let's open up in verses 1 through 3, and we read, "Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.'" So we'll stop right there. Well, let's read Jesus' response. "In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.'" All right, so backing up, we see Nicodemus approaching him, and he basically is referencing the miracles that he has witnessed and making claims and statements that, well, they made sense based on what he was witnessing here. And, you know, and Jesus, of course, his response was that he must be born again. Now, let me say one thing about miracles. Maybe you've witnessed them or read about them. Miracles do not prove deity. Many times a miracle was done, and that didn't bring anybody to the understanding that Christ was God, or even miracles wouldn't bring people to the one true living God. Miracles are a supernatural act that are performed by both natural, or should I say, both good and evil. That is that, you know, there is righteous miracles that God and his angels perform, and there are unrighteous miracles that the devil and his demons perform. So miracles alone do not prove deity, which is why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 that a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign. And of course, none will be given but the sign of Jonah. And so Jesus knew that miracles attract, you know, anyone in that day or today, if they witness a miracle, I mean, it causes wonder and it causes excitement. And it even convinces some people that there's a higher power going on, per se. But they are not a confirmation of deity. So what is the point of a miracle, you may ask? Well, the main point of a miracle is to produce faith. Because faith, when properly cultivated and properly applied, well, that leads one to God. The Bible is clear in Hebrews that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So miracles produce faith, and faith produces, when applied properly, leads one to God. So we're not 100% sure what miracles Nicodemus was referring to. The only one that we have thus far in our narrative is the miracle of Jesus changing water to wine. But that was more of a personal miracle witnessed by only a few. However, in verse 23 of chapter 2, it says, while Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing. So Nicodemus must have been among one of those who witnessed some of these miracles. Nicodemus acknowledged a couple of things about Jesus. Number one, that he was a teacher and that he did miraculous signs and that he was from God. So we see Nicodemus was certainly on the right path. You know, we've spoken extensively in the last week or two about being on the path of righteousness, that is the path of holiness, that we must be moving in the direction of holiness to achieve holiness. We must be traveling and pursuing righteousness to achieve righteousness. Just as you have to have money to make money, you have to be righteous to become righteous. So anyway, we know that Nicodemus was definitely moving in that direction. And for Nicodemus, this was huge. You know, for a man like this, part of the Pharisees, coming to Jesus like this, admitting the three things he admitted, that he was a teacher, that he did miraculous signs, that he was from God. You know, most Pharisees or Jewish council would never admit to someone else even being a teacher, let alone these other things. And so Jesus, knowing the genuineness of Nicodemus' heart, well, he obliged him with an answer. But before we look at Jesus' answer in more depth, let's take a look at the manner in which Nicodemus came to him. Because not only do miracles not prove deity, but we see that Nicodemus came to Jesus in the darkness of night. And Jesus' response being born again. Now, this statement, born again, we're going to look at that a little bit. I'm not sure how far we'll get today. 15 minutes doesn't afford me a lot of time to delve into some of the things I want to. But I encourage you to come back and listen tomorrow at 8:30, and we'll pick it up where we're going to end up leaving off. Also want to plug real quick is our website, washandword.com. That's it's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you can download or listen to this message and all of our other archive messages for free. And there's a good place there. You can find out more about the business and ministry. But anyway, back to the text. Born again. This is a statement that is unique to John's gospel. We don't hear it in any of the gospels. And for a Christian, according to Jesus, we must be born again. Now, that's not a unique statement. Well, that is a unique statement to Christianity, but the word born again kind of applies to other religions in a sense. For instance, a Hindu believes that they should be born again and again and again, of course, believing in reincarnation. An evolutionist believes that they are still being born. An atheist maybe believes that they've never been born at all. And so born again is popular among religions, but exclusive to Christianity. And this term is also tossed around very often in society and in the media, we see, you know, stars, maybe they were popular once and they faded away and then they came back. And some might say that their career has been born again, or athletes, or, you know, certain fads and fashions that come back, we might say that they have been born again. It's basically a term used for anything that has regained notoriety. But here in chapter 3, a divine truth is given. And how do I know? Because Jesus said 3 times, "I tell you the truth," or "verily, verily." And when Jesus says that, it's always truth. In fact, Jesus did not say things that were true. They were true because he said them. Did you understand that? Jesus did not say things that were true. They were true because he said them. So Jesus is the one who defines truth. And what had happened here in the nation of Israel over hundreds and hundreds of years since the book of the law was given to Moses is that the law clearly was not working on the hearts of men. The law was not changing people. And so they continued to add to the laws and add to the laws and add to the restrictions. And all that ended up doing was creating more and more oppression to the Jewish nation. Somebody once figured out that even today we have 35 million laws all trying to enforce the Ten Commandments. So laws don't work. And so Nicodemus, knowing that this wasn't working, knowing that Jesus was a man who taught strongly, who was from God and did miracles, he goes to him. And we got to give credit to Nicodemus for even going to Jesus at all. But it's interesting how he approaches Jesus here. He goes to him in the cover of night, or as I like to call him, Nick at Night. I don't know if they still have that on TV or not, but there's a reference to an old TV program from Nickelodeon. Nick at Night, that's what we call him. And you can almost hear him, you know, sneaking through the shadows, getting close to Jesus. And you know, you can hear him leaning in going, "Psst, hey, hey, Jesus, over here," you know, hiding. You know, Nicodemus, he'd be that cool kid. You know, the cool one who maybe hung out with the nerd at home or in the neighborhood, but when he got around him in school, he completely ignored him. You know, that's who Nicodemus was. He was afraid to do this in public. And so, really, what's the bottom line with Nicodemus? Well, we're all adults, I'm assuming, listening. So I'm going to go ahead and say that dirty four-letter word, that dirty four-letter F word right here on the radio: fear. Fear. Fear is so big in the life of a believer, so detrimental. We look at examples throughout time. You know, we got Nicodemus here, fear of being exposed coming at night. It was fear of the enemy that caused all of Israel, save 2 men, to not enter the promised land. It was fear of losing power that King Saul hunted an innocent man in David. It was fear of sharing glory and honor that Xerxes set out to eradicate the Jews. It was fear of being exposed, of shame, that Herod took the head of John the Baptist. It was fear of death that Peter denied Jesus. And it was fear of a riot that Pilate killed Jesus. And on through the Bible and through history, we see fear causing great damage. Fear causes people to hide the Bible when certain people come around in their lives. Or maybe fear causes you to talk differently or turn down your worship music at an intersection. But for him to seek Jesus, even though it was at night, it was a big step for him. Nicodemus risked everything, which is why, personally, I believe that Nicodemus will be in heaven one day and we will see him. And we'll get to the reasons why I believe that when we get to John chapter 7 and John chapter 19. There's references to Nicodemus that allow me to believe that he did get saved, probably from this conversation. But that's all the time we have for today. We will pick it up, continuing to talk about fear and about Nicodemus's approach to Jesus at night. We encourage you to come by the Washing Word. Again, it's in the Powell Shopping Center in Churchill on Highway 11. We do hand car washing there, and that's how we earn our money to support this ministry and to support our family and our business. So God bless you. We look forward to hearing from you when you come by, and join us again tomorrow at this time. Have a great day.